Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 700. 700. I'm your host, Joshua Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged feline, is downstairs, chilling out. Probably be up here at some point. We'll see. We shall see. Episode 700, though. Feels kind of special. Seven's my lucky number, and I'm recording this on Saturday, January 17th. So... sevens going around. Fuck those sixes. It's all about seven. No 6-7 here. It's just set. Well, there's, you know, it's 2026. There's a six there, but they're not next to each other. It's all about sevens, baby. Triple sevens. Oh, yeah. It's my friend Tony's birthday as well. I got her some gifts. I'll be giving to her here shortly. I'll see her, I think, Monday. But, anyway, I did finally get to a Blues game, you know, I went yesterday, Friday, with my friend John and his son, Brecken, as, it was his first game, Brecken's, that is, which he wasn't a fan of hockey. I think he enjoyed it. It's hard to know with him. I think he was. I don't think he was ready for how loud it was. I think we should have probably given him some earplugs. He was, I think by the end, really bothered by all the noise and the horns and stuff. I mean, I guess if you're pretty young, it can be a lot to take in. If you're not ready for that kind of environment, it is pretty intense. It was a fucking great game to go to as well. As the Blues did go on to win against the Tampa Bay Lightning, they're 3-2. And, the first two goals they scored in the first period were like back to back. I mean, it was, I guess, within a less than a minute. And then, you know, the second period woes continue as, they had a rough second period and, Joel Hofer, you know, was magnificent. The only two goals that Tampa Bay was able to score was on the power play and by, you know, some not great penalties. By not great, you know, maybe, you know, the Blues could have, like, I forgot what exactly Nathan Walker did, but that one was definitely, I mean, I think it was Shen that caused the first penalty. By a high stick to the face. It was a blatant high stick to the face. Like, there was no arguing that was a bad call. No, he, the captain knows how to do it. and I think it was that penalty that started it that led the big power play for Tampa to get two goals. It was pretty crazy because the second period, you know, Tampa's down 2-0. All the momentum was in the Blues' favor. Other than, you know, Tampa Bay was almost shot them. Outshot the Blues by almost two times, you know, which has been the story of the Blues pretty much all season. It's amazing that they've been able to win some games when they had so few shots on goal. But anyway, in the second period there, Tampa Bay pulled their goalie. I mean, that rarely ever happens in the second period. They weren't fucking around. And that's when, like, momentum swung towards Tampa Bay. Like, they pulled the goalie. They had 6-on-5. And then that's when the first penalty occurred. And, of course, they put the goalie back in. Then, you know, it wasn't much longer after that first penalty. Then the Walker penalty happened. And then the Blues were, you know, it was 5-on-3. And there was 4 seconds left to go in the first penalty. Maybe Walker was the first penalty. I don't remember. chain of events there. But a goal was scored with 4 seconds left to end the power play for Tampa, the 5-on-3. It would have been 5-on-4. You know, they would have an extra guy, but they managed to score. You know, it's hard to defend 5-on-3, you know, to prevent a goal from going in at that point. I don't blame Joel Holofer at all. He was getting worked hard. And, you know, they didn't move the puck out of the Blues' defensive zone much, as Hofer was getting shot on all day. He was getting loads at him all day. Then 4 seconds left, and they scored a goal, and then, you know, they still had the rest of the power play because, you know, that only got rid of one of the power plays, as they got it down to 4 seconds, man. Like, they were going to have the extra guy. And then, I don't remember how long it took after that first goal to get that second, but it wasn't very long. And then, you know, it was just, there was a lot of shots on goal by Tampa Bay beyond that point, at least in the second period. It seemed like they were getting a little bit of momentum for the Blues at the end of the second, but then, like, third period, not a whole lot happened. It seemed like at the end of that period that the Blues were picking it up and really trying to score some goals. And they were putting some shots on net. But then, you know, and there was, you know, the crowd, there was a lot of people very upset at the crowd. I mean, the record, you know, that'll happen when your team's record is not great, as the Blues are. But yet they are still in the race for a wild card spot. And they've beaten a lot of really good teams. The last two teams they played were the Hurricanes, the Canes there, and Tampa Bay, who are two teams that have two of the best records in the NHL. And they got back-to-back wins on that. And yet, you know, they'll play like the worst team in the NHL next, which they're not. You know, they'll shit the bed and lose. It's a head-scratching situation. But they looked really good last night. And they looked really good the game before that, where they got a shutout against the Canes, 3-0. That was a fantastic game. As Joel Hofer is, of course, he with that shutout, he tied, unless I'm not sure who else had... let's see here. Most NHL shutouts. This year. Stat Muse. I'm trying. Well, let's see here. This is by teams. The Blues have 5. Well, give me the players, damn it. I don't know about the player. The Blues are like third spot, as Jordan Binnington's had 1. Let's see here. I don't know. NHL stats. Goalie. Just go to goalies, goddammit. let's see here. There's got to be a way to look at you sons of bitches. I want to look at the goalies. Oh, here we go. Here we go. I can figure this out now. Shutouts. Here we go. It's not tied anymore. He was tied. Now he's tied for 2nd in shutouts. Joel Hofer is tied now with Jesper Wallstedt from Minnesota with 4 shutouts. So Ilya Sorokin is number 1 now with 5 for the Islanders. He must have had like back-to-back shutouts. Or maybe he was at 4. I guess maybe he got 1 and then Wallstedt got... I don't know how that worked. But he was tied for 1st. Now he's not. But it was last night was a great game. Once it went to overtime, and Breck, I had to explain. I was trying to explain, you know, the the rules of hockey to Brecken because he's just unfamiliar with hockey. And a little hard to do when it was obscenely loud in there. As, yeah, it, I mean, it was fucking loud in there. It was very loud. So, you know, I had to give them the rundown of how, like, overtime worked. Overtime, like, the Blues were looking solid in overtime. They had several shots on goal in the overtime. They were doing good on 3-on-3. The crowd, though, there were so many people pissed, and they're just like, oh, they're just going to fucking lose. Fucking sons of bitches learned how to play. With the getting very few shots on goal all game, you know, there was a lot of people dogging the Blues in the crowd. And, you know, that'll happen when you're boozing and you got all the crazy shit going on. But then the shootout, man, I mean, that was a thing of beauty. Hofer stood strong, blocked all three shots in the shootout. And, you know, Jordan Kyrou got the game winner in the shootout. As that was pretty fantastic. And the crowd, you know, went nuts, obviously. That's the first game I've been to that went to a shootout and they won. I've been to two other shootouts before and they lost both times previously. The one game last season against Winnipeg. And then I think it was like after that game is when they went on the big long win streak. And they won 12 straight last season, which is cool. Tampa Bay coming into St. Louis yesterday, they had 11 wins right in a row there with a big win streak. And it ended. They were like, fuck you. We're going to end your streak. And they did. As, yeah, it was, and it was impressive that, you know, St. Louis was able to, you know, score like they did against one of the number one goalies in the NHL, Andre Vasilevsky, which I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. But he's a phenomenal goalie. I think he's a Vezina winner, is he not? I think that's the big trophy for goalies right now. I don't know. I'm not that knowledgeable on hockey shit. To be honest, I just enjoy watching the games. But yeah, it was a hell of a game to go to. I did not get any merch while I was there. We got to the game late. And because we got to the game late, also, I used the app ParkWiz, the WHIZ, Wiz. I think is how you spell that, ParkWiz. I don't know why it's WHI, not WIZ. I'm going to double check that now. But I had, yeah, WHIZ. And I paid for parking in the lot that I like to park in, that I parked in many a times over at the library. I don't think that's Washington. It's not on Washington, but it's not too far off of like 14th Street. Or maybe it is on. But anyway, it's, you know, pretty close to the Blues there, the at the Enterprise Center. And I've since I've been there a lot, it's easy for me to remember how to get back to the lot and whatnot. So it was only $20 for, you know, an event like that. You know, it's a decent price. When there's a game and there's like other events going on, those prices can get jacked the fuck up. So, I bought that like the day before the game. I lined up the parking, and then the day of the game, I'd gotten the tickets for the game, and we had decent tickets. We were not in the mezzanine. We were like the next, well, we were two rows below the mezzanine, and we had a good view of the game. But again, when we got there, we came late. John lives out in Owensville. It takes, you know, a while for him to get over here. We did work yesterday, so after getting off work, he had to go home and pick up his son and then to drive here. And then when we did get up there, it was game time when we arrived. And had I been able to park where I paid to park, I would have got in there like right at the start of the game. However, we missed the start of the game because we had to go to, like, I pulled up to the parking lot and the guy had us get out of the, like, this parking lot's full, can't park here. I'm like, I paid, and like, it can't park here. And like, son of a bitch, seriously? And there's no way to get a refund. And John wanted to yell at the guy, like, no, he's like, it's just like an attendant at a parking lot. There's no, he's got no cash register. He's probably got no money on him. Like, he's not going to give it, he's not going to be like, move a car. These people parked their car and left. Like, he seemed to think that we were just going to be, he was going to be able to get us, like, no, dude, there's no reason to get in a fight with this dude. It's fucking, welcome to the city. I was like, oh, fuck, you know, where do I park? So I'm just driving around that area looking for a parking lot. And over by the City Museum on Washington, we started to pull up to one because we saw some cars pulling into a parking lot over there. And I knew I was going to end up having to pay a fucking fortune. But started to pull in there. The guy said that lot was full, but he was really polite. And let me pull through that parking lot to get out, to turn back around because there was cars right behind me. And he told me where I could park, and it was like right next to that lot. There was kind of almost like a hidden parking lot where only a few cars could park. It was a much smaller lot. And I got in there, but it did cost me, you know, it was paid by the hour. And since we were there 3 hours, it cost $30. So I paid $50 for parking last night. That was like the real pisser of the night. But it did prevent me from really going, like, after paying for that. And, you know, I paid like 100 something for the ticket. It was like a 108. So, you know, it was a pretty pricey ticket. But it was decent seats. It was, you know, decent seats. And it was also Hello Kitty night. That might have been why it was somewhat hard for us to get tickets. Didn't get the Hello Kitty merch. Didn't get there early enough to get it, even if you would have paid for it. But, well, I guess I think you'd still stay in line even if the game started. But we didn't miss too much of the game starting out. We were able to see the goals at least in the first period. And then, man, that was just a pisser about the parking. But I was going to, you know, check out and get some more pucks from a puck case. But I was thinking to do it after the game, and Brecken was so tired, and John looked really tired too. I was like, we should probably just get going. And I avoided even pissing afterwards because, you know, there's big lines. And I had to piss like a motherfucker because I had a Red Bull, like a 12 ounce Red Bull, and I've been sticking with like 8 ounce Red Bulls. And so a 12 ounce one was like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, I was amped up to go, which is good. I had no problems driving. And yeah, I had to piss like a motherfucker by the end of that game. I didn't piss at all during the game, and by the end, yeah, I had to piss really bad. But I muscled through. I was like, yeah, let's just get the fuck out of here. Part of the problem with the parking, though, is not just the Blues game. There was John Mulaney kind of fucked us. I think he is definitely somewhat to blame here, or majority to blame, because he was doing a show at the Stiefel Theater there, and right next to the Enterprise Center, and apparently it's a very large show. I guess they can seat quite a few people there, as there was a fuck ton of people going to that show. And I messaged Shelley, and he was saying that yeah, he knew a guy that went the night before to the Mulaney show, and it was insane to park there. And they ended up paying like $50 for parking. And Shelley actually said the last time him and Nabina went to a show, or a game rather, he had the same situation happen where they paid for parking and showed up and like, parking lot's full, so they got fucked out of that money. And then so they parked on the street somewhere behind like a tractor trailer and then got a $15 parking fee, parking ticket. And I was like, well, shit, that is cheaper parking than I had. So I was like, shit, maybe that should have been the route I went. I would have saved a little bit of money, you know. I would have saved like $15. I can't do that, though. I'd be afraid my car would get towed, you know, like getting a parking ticket on the street. But again, if, you know, $15 is a lot cheaper than a lot of that parking. I feel like I got pretty lucky with having that small parking lot, because, and I was like, there's no fucking way we paid all that money for tickets, because it was $108 per ticket. Like, that's a lot of money to pay for a ticket and then not be able to go. And, like, we drove all the way up there. I'm like, we're going to fucking find a place to park. And John's a very high-anxiety person, so he's stressing bad. He hates being in the city and shit. I'm just like, let's all just calm down. Let's just take a breath. We're going to get there, I promise. I was able to keep a cool head. And so, which, you know, I can get stressed out, especially when it comes to, like, driving and stuff. And I was kind of freaking out, but with him, like, really stressing out, it made me, like, okay, I gotta calm down, because we can't have multiple people just losing our shit. Because that'll lead to us just not going to the game at all, and we're just going to be out of this fucking money. So we were able to, calm down, get to the task at hand. And, yeah, it was a great game. Glad to see the game. But yeah, I didn't get any merch. Didn't get any pucks. I am going to be going to the Star Wars game. Don't have tickets yet. But I'll be going with Shelly and I assume Nabina. And I hope to get the Grogu bobblehead, which I'm pretty excited about. And I'm hoping this time I show up on time to the Star Wars game. Last time, it was showed up late and didn't get to see the stuff at the beginning. Well, actually, I showed up with enough time to where I was there at the start of the game, but there was such a long line to get, because I'd gotten the shirt for the Star Wars night, and I had to wait in line for it. So I didn't get to see the stuff beforehand, which I was sad, and I was like, oh, I'd never been to a Star Wars game before. But I scheduled a day off of work the day after, because unfortunately it's on a Thursday. Most of their theme nights happen during the week, which it's, you know, it's hard for me to do. I start work at 6 a.m. And so, and I get up at, you know, 4 in the morning. For me to leave St. Louis at after 10 p.m., get back home at, you know, 11, 11:30, and then try to, you know, get the litter box clean, brush my teeth and all that, get ready for bed. It's gonna suck. I wouldn't get to bed till like 1, and then I'm up just a couple hours later. It would be tough to do. My job's too physical to come into work and be super tired. It happens. I just try to not do that. Not looking, it just sounds like a horrible idea. Like, if I still worked at Magnet and my job wasn't as nearly as physical, like way less physical, I would definitely go, you know what, I'd give it a go. I would probably just not being in my 40s. That would be a thing. You know, in my 30s, I'd be like, definitely more likely to do it. 20s, I'd be like, you're goddamn right, we're doing this. Fuck, I might do that working at Can-Am if I was still in my 20s. I'm more tired now. I can't be doing stupid shit like that, you know, like I did in as a young man, as a young lad. I don't know that I imagine I'll get to like one or two other games maybe this season. I was trying to, you know, find some like cheaper games to go to, but yeah, cheap anything these days is just not around. And it's only getting worse, you know, as the things that are, you know, going on in this country, the fucked up shit, you know. And the fact that we're trying to start war with, it looks like, the rest of the world. Thankfully, we haven't taken Greenland yet. Hopefully it stays that way. And yeah, it's hard to be optimistic being an American these days. Yeah, let's not, I don't really feel like going down that road. I feel like that's, you know, everybody, like, you open your phone and it's, you can't get away from it. Yeah, I mean, it's terrible shit, but, hey, yeah, you know, the Blues still could make the playoffs. As a fan of hockey and being of the St. Louis Blues, gotta say. I honestly, I'm thinking they're probably not going to make it, but, you know, if they're even like mathematically out of the playoffs, you know, I'm almost like, you know, somewhat more glad about that. Cause I imagine the ticket prices are going to be way better. Less people going to the games, you know, but, I would like to see them, you know, win. And, they're a team that can go on massive win streaks. It's but you never know what you're gonna get from one day to the next when you watch a Blues game. it's been a tough year, or tough season as the year. We're only 17 days into this new year, which I guess their record this year isn't that bad if you look at it like that. For the season, that's a different story. But 700. That's crazy to me. 700. I've done 700 of these episodes. Oh, well, no. I've done 699. I should be clear. I've done 699. There is one episode where I was not on there. And that was, where was it? I was in Europe. I don't remember which trip that was. That might have been, was that the last one? Like the second trip to Russia, maybe? I don't know. I don't remember which trip it was. But Cam and Ben had done a show while I was away, abroad. And I didn't listen to the whole thing. I listened to a little bit. They were talking shit on me. I know that. Unfortunately, though, Cameron had a stroke. He's getting better now. He's speaking and what have you, but he's been in a little rough shape. He's been in the hospital now for quite some time. Hopefully continues to improve. There was one episode. I don't know off the top of my head. Let's see if I can I don't even know how to search for that. Maybe if I I want to find it, but I don't know how to find El Camino. I don't even know how to. Oh, yeah, here we go. I found what episode it is. It is episode 322. It was October of 2018. So it was my first trip to Germany. That's when it happened. So if you want to hear them taking over the show, the one episode I didn't do. So actually, my 700th. Appearance on this show will happen next week, I guess. good to know. Fun fact. I couldn't remember when that exactly took place there. It was the first trip to Germany. But there's 700 episodes, and I've been rocking. I believe I've talked about this quite a bit on the last several podcasts, but I've been just going deep into the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and in my brain I always want to say Afterbirth for whatever reason. Maybe that'll be the third one of the remake, will be the Final Fantasy VII Afterbirth. Because you got the remake, there's the first episode of it, it's a remake. Then Rebirth. Now, since it's been Rebirth, is it going to be Afterbirth next? I don't know. It seems like it should be. I know that, the remake, it was a lot to it. It was during the COVID lockdowns, and I had was only working every other day. At that point for like a month or two, and I had all kinds of time to play that one, so I went through that one pretty quickly. This Afterbirth pre-afterbirth, rebirth, whichever birth. I started playing it like a fucking year ago, and they gave up because the, or just not. I just like, I'm gonna put a pin in this. I'm gonna go back to it later. I always intended to beating it, but the squat mini game with Tifa was driving me insane. It was a bit difficult, shall we say. And so I just kind of pushed to the side. I intended to go back to it fairly soon after I stopped playing it, but then, you know, I was doing stuff as working on the house and everything, which I still need to go back to, like, painting the kitchen. I have just not gotten back to it. I almost feel like I got to get through this rebirth before I continue back on that, or because obviously my overtime's not going away anytime soon, as we just had a meeting at work. And then find out that they're starting a second shift, as we've cut all production down to one shift for like over a year. We've had that, and now they're going back to starting a second shift because of our workload. But, you know, that means we got to hire a bunch of new people, and there's going to be a bunch of new people on second shift, and it's, you know, it's going to be a real mess. And it doesn't look like overtime is going to be ending. Although, next week, when we work Saturday, we're only working 6 hours instead of 8. So that's a start. I'd rather not work Saturdays at all, but 6 hours does make a big difference, because it's like you can go home and then take a nap for a little while and still kind of have a Saturday night. Whereas when you work 8 hours on a Saturday, it's like, fuck, you know. It's tough to go doing shit afterwards. Anyway, though, I've been, you know, trying to get through Final Fantasy VII, but I've been going back, and now I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos on the original Final Fantasy VII, which I've played a fuck ton of times. Just an insane amount of times. It's still, to me, like the greatest game that was ever made. Greatest fucking game. Possibly because it's all about sevens. Like, there's so much seven of everything in there. Seventh Heaven, the bar that Avalanche is, like, based out of. Sector 7 in Midgar is where they live. And where they drop the plate. I think that's where they drop the plate. Anyway. I love love for seven in that whole game. it's just always been my number is seven. And I don't think that it really has much to do why I love Final Fantasy VII. It's really just the story to it. The Cloud and the like love triangle, like there's just women just all over that just want Cloud. There is like the crazy love triangle, which in the original, it was, mainly just Cloud, Aerith, and Tifa in that love triangle. But, like, with the remake and Rebirth, they've added, like, more women into the mix. As if you play the Crisis Core, too, which is originally on the PSP, I think. And then, of course, they did a more upgraded version, like basically a remake of that as well. After I think they put it out after remake, but I played through the Crisis Core. I don't remember so much about that. Whereas you play as Zack, which, spoiler alert, if you haven't played Final Fantasy VII, Zack is the soldier that Cloud gets mixed up in his memory. He's remembering Zack as himself. And they have like similar hair, except for Zack is black and Cloud's blondie. And but you get it was apparently the original Zack in Final Fantasy VII was added late to the game, so they had decided to do that. And there's just so much. Whereas there's the love triangle with Zack as well. He's mixed up in that triangle. Is it considered a triangle with as many people involved? Just the original triangle is really like Aerith, Tifa, and Cloud there. I guess Zach's mixed in there as well, because I think in the original, it's been a while since I played the original, but I think it they do basically, you find out that Aerith was seeing Zach. But then, like, the remake, though, they add so much levels to it. It seems like him and Jesse have, you know, a thing. Cloud and Jesse, that is. And then him and Cisne, that's in Crisis Core as well. And there's just, the ladies love Cloud, you know, and apparently Zach. It's a soldier thing. It's a, they love the soldiers, which, you know, Cloud never... wasn't ever actually a real soldier, just ended up being like the most badass motherfucker, you know, to live, as he would be, you know, one of the big ones to help take down Sephiroth. It was a it's a team sport, though. I can't really say it was all Cloud. I mean, you know, it's a team game. You know, my main team is Tifa, or not Tifa, sorry. I mix Tifa in there sometimes, but Yuffie is like really my best. And Barret and Cloud. That's like my main squad. Mainly because I like my ranged attacks. And Yuffie's just a badass on the Rebirth. You can just make her super strong. Cloud and Yuffie are the best two characters that I have. The two strongest ones. Anyway. Though, like, there's... Oh, man. The history of, like, sex in Final Fantasy VII is pretty crazy. The Honeybee Inn, that stuff is pretty insane. And I did find, I was watching a YouTube video earlier, that there is people that have gone through and combed through the data mined Final Fantasy VII, the original, and found more things that were originally going to be included in the Honey Bee Inn. And apparently there's like some kind of mod you can play where you can play like the whole thing that they found, at least. It wasn't completed. But there was even more to the Honey Bee Inn than what's in the game, which is crazy to me because I remember I was 97. So I was 16 when that game came out. So I was aware of what, you know, sex was and stuff. These weren't, and there wasn't quite streaming porn yet, but I had seen porn a little bit, not a lot at that point. But I was well aware of, you know, gangbangs and such. I had an older brother. I know what was up. In that game. In the original, the Honeybee Inn, of course, you have to go, and there's the weirdness factor that at that point in time, Tifa has run off to try to infiltrate Don Corneo's place or whatever. And to do that, it's basically got to be a call girl. And you go to the Honeybee Inn to, like, track down Tifa. I forget if you already are aware that she's work, like, I feel like you got some tip-off to where Tifa is when you're trying to find her. But it's been a few years since I played the original. Or the remake, rather. Because the Honeybee Inn's in the remake. It's not in Rebirth. But anyway. As Cloud, you got to go in there, and Aerith is like, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing going in there? Like, we're kind of a thing here. And you're looking for your sort of ex, Tifa? Your childhood friend? That it seems like you two probably had something going on or still have something going on. It's a bit murky. The Honeybee Inn, you go in there, and of course, the whole purpose is you got to dress as a woman to also sell yourself as a call girl to Don Corneo. And to do so, you got to get all the women's clothing, and there's different things to do and around. And then you go to the Honeybee Inn, and there's you to get the sexy lingerie. There's several different things you can get. And then one of the options, like, you end up going into, like, a massage room, but, like, there's the one where Cloud gets gangbanged, which you don't see it. There's, like, just sound. They put up, like, what's said and some sounds. There's a bunch of dudes that come into the room. And but apparently there was more, and it was going to be more graphic that they hadn't put in the final game, that they decided maybe we're going too far here. I love the honeybee, and like that whole thing to try to dress yourself up as a woman and go become a convince Don Corneo to take you as a call girl. It's fucking great. It's fucking great. Don Corneo. And he was, you know, he's in the second part in Rebirth. You got to go fight him again. And which I didn't think he would be back. But yeah, they bring him back for, I imagine he's probably going to be in the third one as well. So I look forward to that. But, you know, I got to say, with all the ladies that are after Cloud, and you know, there's the whole, there's also, besides just the ladies, I mean, the Golden Saucer date that is in the original, and it's in part two here in Rebirth, in the newer one. But going to the Golden Saucer, like, they're basically like Disneyland-ish situation. In their theme park, and they got all kinds of fucking mini games. They're hard as shit this time around. Unnecessarily hard. And though there are harder mini games than what's a Gold Saucer in the game, though. Anyway, the original one, I don't think I ever did. Maybe I did at one point. On one of my many playthroughs of that game, I might have gone through and done the date with it, because you can do a date with all the people that are in your party. Like, you can end up doing it with, like, everybody. You know, it's always fun to, you know, go on a date with Barrett instead of, like, Aerith or Tifa. You just, I'm going to go on a date with the big black dude. Yeah, hell yeah. Or there's, you know, Red 13. That's a little weird. This dog. You're going to be on a date with dog, which that's what I ended up with on Rebirth. I've only done the one date. You can go in and basically know who you're going to end up on the date with on the Rebirth. Like, I don't, there's no way to, like, judge that on the original, I don't think. But on Rebirth, you can hit the L1 button when you're walking around and see, like, you know, who's got the stronger feelings for you at the moment. And apparently Red 13, I was like, well, we'll just surprise it. We'll go on the date as Red 13. So my first date was with a dog on the game, which is very accurate for me, really. You know, I'm going to more likely go on a date with an animal. I'd rather just hang out with my cat. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there's just the, I would say, after playing Remake, though, of all the ladies that I would have a thing for, I gotta say, Jessie's my girl. Which is funny, because as soon as I said that, Rick Springfield gets stuck in my head. Jessie's girl, which wouldn't be Jessie's girl, it's Jessie is a girl. Anyway. This is referred to Jessie Raspberry, which I don't know. In Remake, she was just such a lovable character. She's an actress, and also, you know, she's a fucking part of the rebel, or, you know, terrorist group, depending on whatever, you know. If you're a Shinra, you view them as a terrorist. You know, if you're someone that is for the the planet and the life of it, you might consider them just, you know, a liberator or a rebel, if you will. Anyway. yeah, Jessie would be, you know, my pick. If I was Cloud, which maybe it too has to do with the fact that she dies in Remake. And it's the fact that, you know, can't have her. Maybe that's what's really stuck in my brain. Like, that's the one, like, oh, the one that truly got away. Then again, you know, I haven't gotten to the end of Rebirth. I'm pretty sure Aerith is going to die. I mean, she died in the original. But it's a multiverse situation in the new one, where in Remake, they make it clear to you that this isn't going to end the way you think it is. So I'm thinking they probably won't kill Aerith. I haven't really seen any spoilers on it. The game's been out for well over a year. But wouldn't be much of a, you know, it wouldn't be much of a, I guess, a spoiler since she did die in the original. But I wonder, because I think it wasn't too long after in the original that she died, not long after getting the black materia that Sephiroth wants you to get out of the ancient, the Temple of the Ancients. And, oh man, Sephiroth, such a great enemy. Anyway, yeah, my vote, I think when I played the game originally, which again, you know, it was 97, it was 30 years ago, that, or 29 years ago, I guess, that that game came out. And I got to say, back then, originally, I guess I was more of a Tifa than Aerith. It's, you know, I don't know. I don't know my first, I think, I feel like I've gone different routes through the years, like who I'm more into. When Remake came out, though, which I definitely didn't feel much for Jessie in the original one, because she's only very briefly in the original. Remake really builds her character. And, like, I don't know what she was even in, because she was, like, in Rebirth, you get to see her again, because she's the actress in the play that you watch at the Golden Saucer, which is, you know, I guess they're seeing like a pre-recorded thing. And anyway, you get a glimpse of her basically in Rebirth and hints at her. but they really build her character in Remake, and it's like, oh, how could you not love Jesse Raspberry? Like Cloud, I mean, he's got to be heartbroken, you know? And then Aerith is going to die. And I feel like, you know, this is like, I feel like Aerith thinks she's in a relationship with Cloud, and Cloud's just like, yeah, I don't know. This girl's just hanging around. I don't know what's going on. Of course, Cloud doesn't seem to know anything of what's going on. He's maybe not the most, right? He's just, you know, constantly fucked up because he's, Sephiroth is in his head, and the Mako poisoning and whatnot. Starts hallucinating and shit. Which, yeah, there's such a good game, though. Final Fantasy VII, man. It's so thankful that, you know, to live in a world that has existed. It's just a beautiful thing. Very beautiful thing. And, yeah. Anyway. I look forward to definitely finishing that one day. I don't know if it. I've put like almost 200 hours in that game, and there's still so much more for me to do. It's like, motherfucker. This is like beyond a full time job at this point. When will I ever finish it? It's not going to be tonight. I know that. I might hop on for a little bit later, but it won't be for very long. I got some stuff to finish on Call of Duty. Though it seems that my crew is finally not playing Call of Duty so much. Whereas they're getting into some Red Dead, which I'm like, God damn it, I don't want to add another game that I get into. I got to finish this Final Fantasy VII stuff, man. It's kind of a must here. It's a must. Got to get it done. I don't think I'm ever going to get like the platinum trophy on it, though, on the Rebirth. I think I'm going to fall short of getting like everything. I want to at least do all the battle stuff, like get through the Chadley stuff, beat all of the, I guess they're considered hidden bosses. I don't really feel like they're very hidden though. These days with the internet, nothing's really hidden. I can just go out and find the stuff. But, there's the, you fight all the summons, after you do the proto-relic stuff. And they're hard as fuck. Well, I only did the one battle, and it was a bit hard. I would imagine it would help if I built my characters to max level, which I'm about 18 levels away from. And I've got some things to add experience and stuff and make it a little bit easier. I just need to do some grinding, really. I need to grind, find a good area to grind. And, you know, just get up on it and just go to town. But, yeah, that's pretty much all I'm working on in that game. As it is, oh, man, the amount of time I spent in there. Oh, I have actually been getting back into running. I'm trying to get in shape as I did. And to get help me get motivated. I've known I've put on a lot of weight in the last like 4 months. So I haven't really done much running. I've been eating like complete terrible, like the worst possible food and overeating. I had hamburger casserole a bunch of times. I cooked it at least like 3 or 4 times around the holidays. And then I ate other just bad food around the holidays and just porking out. The scale I had, I still have, I ain't gotten rid of it. But it's not one of those digital scales. It's one of the old school scales where it's just, you know, you put weight on it. And it's like it's got a wheel that spins. Not a very accurate scale. It's a very cheap scale. I spent like maybe a couple of bucks on it. Because I was never that concerned about it, but I was like, you know, I really wanted it to be accurate because I knew that it wasn't really showing my accurate weight. And like, since I know I'm getting really badly out of shape, I figured let's really find out the damage, which I was thinking I was hovering around 164 or so. I think that thing was like a good, you know, at times it was saying like 168, 170 ish. And last I got on that one, it was, I want to say 168 to 170-ish range. It was hard to get to stay in zero, though, like to zero out the scale. But then when I got the new scale, the digital scale, that's supposed to like tell you your saturated fat and all that shit and your BMI, and I got on it, and it was 174 point something. I'm like, oh, God damn it. Made me feel like really bad, you know, like, fuck. And it, you know, told me that my BMI and saturated fat's high. I toned that shit down, which I knew, but I was hoping, you know, with seeing it right smack dab in front of me, other than just like feeling it, because all my clothes are getting tight, my belly's sticking out. And, I mean, that's like the bigger motivator, but I was able to, I ran 2 days last week, and then this week I did 3, and I haven't really lost much weight, but I got to get the eating stuff straightened out and eat better meals. Like, that's going to be the big thing, I know, to help me out there. I do that, and if I get to continue to run, I think that'll be a big thing, as it's good that I've gotten out for some runs where it was obscenely cold, because that is the time that I hate running the most. I hate running the fucking cold. And I never did get a treadmill. I think I was more pissed off after ordering one at Amazon. And then like several weeks later, they sent me an email or a message saying like, oh, no, we canceled that order because it's out of stock, even though it said it was in stock when I ordered it. Anyway. After that, I did not attempt to buy another treadmill. And because my idea of getting the treadmill is like, well, I have no excuses to run in bad, that I can't run when it's bad weather outside. And it was like, fuck, I don't have a treadmill. But so I'm just going to have to suck it up and go run in the shit weather. I don't want to run in the freezing rain, that's for sure. Or just cold and rain. Snow, I'm not real fond of doing it. If there's just a little bit, I'll do it. Then again, I mean, there's some areas. If I go downtown and like run on the Riverfront Trail, that's not too bad in the snow. I have options. I think if I just, you know, cut down my eating, don't overeat, and then, you know, just eat better stuff. Stop it with the junk food and the sugary drinks. I was drinking a lot of Gatorade there for a while. That's a lot of sugar. And so I think that, you know, just cutting down sugar in general will be a game changer. Game changer? Whatever. So I'm trying to turn things around the new year. Hopefully my clothes fit better by the time we get to the real warm weather, as I'll be wearing less, and it'll be harder for me to hide the gut. my legs, my pants, you know, I don't notice getting fatter like during the warmer months as much because I'm not wearing any pants. Well, I do wear pants at my job, but I wear kind of loose fitting pants anyway at work. But like the blue jeans, man, you really feel it when your legs start getting fat in blue jeans. They start getting real tight and like, oh, God damn it. I got fat legs again. I know that's not muscle. I'm just big boned. Anyway. Yeah. So I'm hoping to, you know, at least drop like 10 pounds as 174 is pretty high for me. It's pretty high for me. Like when I was running all the time and I got down to where like running was real easy, it was like a 145. And like, that's what I was like all throughout like high school or like later on in high school and through like most of my 20s, I was like 145. Like before my metabolism started just going to complete shit, I was like 145. And then, you know, around 29 or so, that's when I was going to school at the broadcast center and stuff. It started going down. It just started, by the time I was like 30, I started putting on some weight, you know. I was working at the radio station. I had a lot of food just given to me. Bad food. I was constantly eating bad food. I was constantly eating on the go. Pounded energy drinks, which, you know, I tend to... I'm going to have to cut back on that at some point too. Again, as I'm at least doing like 8 ounce drinks now instead of doing like 12 to 16 ounces. So I'm going smaller amounts and trying to do it less. So that should hopefully help out a little bit, as that shit is, you know, just not good for you in general. But yeah. And, oh man, there's, I guess I could talk about it. I was watching this YouTube video earlier about the creators of bum fights. If you're not familiar with bum fights, it happened in the 90s. And I was aware of it. Like, you could order these videos online. And this is the VHS days. And you get a VHS tape. And it was fucked up. I never ordered them. But my cousin Jason... he probably had every fucking VHS tape of that shit. I remember him showing them to me. And like this seems awful. But, you know, they were literally going out to these bums that lived around the area and, you know, paying with like a, you know, I don't know, it was a pack of cigarettes. I don't remember what they would just, you know, offer them, but it wasn't much of anything to like fight each other. And, the people that started it, you know, they made several million dollars off the whole venture, which is pretty crazy to make homeless people fight and or have them do stupid stunts and hurt themselves. Well, them not getting much of anything to then, of course, you know, make the people behind it a ton of money. But it's apparently there's a whole thing to the bum fights where the original two that created bum fights and like filmed the bum fights, like sold it to some other people that would go on to promote it as if they were the original creators of it, sort of like a Ray Kroc McDonald's situation. They were the Ray Krocs of bum fights, as they created fake names too. And there's the viral internet video where one of them went on Dr. Phil and shaved their head to look like Dr. Phil and basically pointed out that they were just doing exactly what Dr. Phil did, which, yeah, he's a piece of shit and like exploits people, their problems for money. And the fun part about that, though, is Ty Beeson is the name that they were using, which it wasn't Ty Beeson. Ty Beeson's a fake name anyway, but they paid some guy to act to be that guy. Like, there's some like total Inception shit going on with the bum fight creators, which again, they the two at that point that were owners of Bum Fights were not the original two. They were the Ray Crocs of Bum Fights. And I guess there's, you know, a bit of confusion of who owns it. And apparently there was several other people that were, you know, big time people with a lot of money that like owned stake or bought stake in it. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy to make a ton of money off of, you know, such a depraved thing as fucking with homeless people. And there's debate on whether or not, you know, they had pre-scripted the shit. And, you know, the bums were fully on board, which, I don't know, it definitely does seem like, you know, they did this without them, you know, would just fuck with these bums. And then, yeah, I guess they felt it was better to ask for forgiveness than for permission. I think they were opting more for that instead of having the bums be fully on board and, you know, fully compensating him for it is pretty crazy shit. Anyway, there was, I'm sure, more stuff I was going to talk about, but it eludes me as I never write this shit down. It was great to see the Blues win in a shootout. Man, that is... That was a good game. Joel Hofer, I was almost ready to just go out and buy a Joel Hofer jersey after that. I mean, damn, he started out rough. He had some real... He shit the bed multiple times early on in the season, but the last, like, 2 months, man, he's been fucking killing it. Joel Hofer is earning that Hall of Famer nickname, I think, and showing that he's... I love me some Jordan Binnington, and forever he will be my king. As, you know... He was one of the biggest catalysts for the Blues winning the Stanley Cup in 2019. But Joel Hofer is looking like quite the beast. And on that note, that is not... God damn it, I fucked it up. There's like an animal outside that's kind of fucking with me. Hold on. Let me see if I can hear it. Oh yeah, of course, now that I get silent, it's not going to do anything. Anyway. I almost fucked up the outro. I was going to fuck it up anyway, so... I'm just waiting. If I say it again, or when I go to say it again, then I'm going to hear the animal or whatever the hell that sound was outside. All right, let me try this again. That is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.